Welcome to another edition of Waking Up with Spirit, Episode 5. In this podcast, I'd like to cover our animal guides and totems, as well as the angel guides. As a Native American, animal guides and totems hold a sacred meaning for me. Each animal contains vital energy or medicine, and they teach us a great deal about our world and ourselves. These animals are symbols, and they each stand for something to strive for, be aware of, or even to look at for healing. A fantastic author and intuitive was Ted Andrews. Sadly, he left our earth on October of 2009. Through his book, Animals Speak, he continues to teach us about the animal counterparts and their meanings and messages to us. Our totems, an animal that seems to appear to you a lot, speak to your soul, or even intrigues you, usually means that this is our power animal. It brings us messages, an insight. A lot of us who work between the worlds have Native American guides, and these guides bring with them their animal powers. You could find that the bear, the beaver, the hawk, are all part of your animal totems. By doing meditations, this will help you to define who your animals are, if you are unsure. Remember, an animal symbol in meditation may give you double meaning. A name for your guide, as well as maybe the spirit animal connected to them, and thus to you. My native guide, Chief Red Fox Hunting, his totem is the hawk and the black bear. Though fox is in his name, it is not a part of his medicine. As you work more closely with spirit and deciphering all of your communications with them, it will get easier. It may take months or even years until you have a clear view of all of this. Be patient and keep practicing. A few totem animals, like the hawk, they're winged. This indicates mental awareness and messages, also communications through your mind like telepathy and clairvoyance. A butterfly stands for transformation, change, rebirth, and intuition. The wolf, a teacher, a pathfinder, adaptable, cunning, and silent power. The cat, independent, magic, Egyptian ties and connections, self-reliance and agility. Ted's book will work with you on these and hundreds more, what they represent, and even, when you see them in your day, what they mean for you to do. Like squirrels, Ted says that they're for playing more. They teach you to have balance between work and play. They gather, so therefore maybe you need to start looking at gathering and giving, also preparing for the future, but don't dwell on the future, to play, to balance. The robin, a new spring cometh. Trust in your new creative ideas, and your efforts will be rewarded. As you continue to work with your guardians, you will begin to develop your own type of symbolic shorthand. Be open and allow them to work in your life. Angels. Where do I begin with angels? Different than our guardians, but still relatively close, they have the same roles. They are not human spirits, nor have they ever been in a body. While the movie City of Angels was a bittersweet story, it is not truthful. Angels do not become humans, and with one exception, humans do not become angels. The exception is known as Enoch, or Metatron, and you can Google to learn more about that. I realize a few of you just raise your eyebrows at me, and yes, I know that several religions teach that we do die and become angels. And in the Bible and other storybooks, it says that angels are dressed in white gowns, have gossamer wings, they sit on clouds and play harps all day. Well, we don't. I have met my fair share of devoutly religious spirits who were very confused upon their death and expected heaven to look a whole lot different than they found. We all have at least one guardian angel. This non-gendered being is very protective and nurturing. Yes, angels have no sex or gender. Although they can appear to you, either male in features or female. It's something that we relate to and they want us to feel comfortable. They will assist you in many ways, your goals, your dreams, and even everyday things. They respond to requests that will serve your highest good. So if you ask for something that will harm or change free will of you or another person, they will not and cannot respond. There is a general hierarchy or order to our angels. According to the celestial hierarchy of Dionysus, there are 9 angelic orders. The first triad, the highest, is the Seraphim, or Choir 1. These are said to be God's angelic servants. They appear with 6 wings and 4 heads. They are known as the fiery serpents. They keep negative energy from getting through to divinity. The second choir is Cherub, or Cherubim. Said to be the angels of harmony and wisdom, they guard the light and the stars, and they channel positive energy from the divine. The third is the thrones, said to be the angels of justice and will, known as the many-eyed ones. They create and send and collect positive energy. The second triad, or the middle triad, the dominions, is the first choir. They are the angels of intuition and wisdom, divine leaders. They combine spiritual and material. The second choir is the virtues. These are the angels of movement and choice, known as the miracle angels. They send spiritual energy to collective human consciousness. They help those that strive to go beyond and accomplish what others call impossible. The third choir, the powers. Angels of space and form, they keep track of human history. They are organizers for world religions. They dispense justice and chaos. The third triad, or the lowest triad closest to Earth, are the principalities. Angels of time and personality, they guard continents, countries, cities, and large groups. They channel positive energy. They also protect politics and religion. The second choir in this triad are the archangels, angels of fire, ruling angels, able to belong to several levels of the hierarchy. They enjoy human contact. And the third, the closest to us, are the angels, messengers. They are assigned to humans such as guardian angels. They are involved in human and physical manifestation. They need to be asked and will not always interfere. Guardian angels can come from any level, and they communicate with all other angels. So I hope this has helped to describe the hierarchy of our angel companions. So let's look a little bit more at the archangels. They have some of the most astounding and loving energy that you will ever feel on Earth. Being near an archangel is powerful and amazing, and you never want to let them leave you. They can assist in a great many issues in your life, such as Michael. He's good for protection, courage, cutting energy cords that no longer serve you for your highest good. Raphael, healing and communications. Gabriel, or Gabrielle. She was at first thought to be male, and later on, it was found that she appeared more female. Now she can appear, or he can appear, as any gender. So keep that in mind. She or he deals with messages, peace, and transformations. Uriel, visions, dreams, wisdom, and governs over nature. To learn more about our archangels, you can pick up a book written by a sister witch and a really good friend of mine, Silver Ravenwolf. She wrote Angelic Companions in Magic, and it's very fascinating reading. I will admit that I have called my angels to protect my car when I go on a trip. I imagine them surrounding it, especially the Archangel Michael. He kind of hovers over the top and keeps me safe. They come immediately, and you will feel their energy. It's like a warm rush of love and serenity. A lot of times, I'm not the one driving, and when I call to my angels, I feel at peace, and I will drift off to sleep. I'm also afraid to fly, so I'll call them at that time as well. Next week, I will discuss our main guide and or our protector guide. This is the guide in my life that bridges the gap between the worlds and helps me to connect to the spirits on the other side. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email me at mediumlauraevans@yahoo.com. Be sure to visit my website and my blog, mediumlauraevans.com, and my blog at mediumlaura.com. And as always, may the spirits continue to guide, direct, and protect you.